You're listening to Ann Misch on 103.7 The Beat, your host of Watch Us Go, Talk of Muskegon. Today we have Samantha Ferguson with us from the Community Neighborhood Services Department in the city of Muskegon. And I'm going to let Samantha here say hi.
Hello.
I'm going to let you, because you have a new title recently. What was your title previously?
Previously, I was a housing rehab coordinator for the city of Muskegon.
Housing rehab, and what does that entail?
Well, that pretty much means that I handle the homeowners. I deal more with homeowners and housing concerns that they have, and we help through rehab some houses, or it's small rehab, not full rehabs.
So when you what does that mean by small rehabs?
Well, just specific jobs, like a roofing job,
okay,
job or whatever, not a complete total rehab.
Sure.
But just one issue in the home.
Sure. So say somebody who is income eligible, who lived in the city of Muskegon and had a roof that was in desperate need of repair or replacement, and they passed all the qualifications and there was funds available, then that would be something that you would help them with.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. So good. And then siding, I believe, is another one that can sometimes qualify for it.
Yes, we do have a vinyl siding program.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. And now just recently, I'm talking very recent, like last week, I think, you just received a promotion.
Yes. I am going to be the community development specialist for the city of Muskegon now.
Okay, those are a lot of really big words there. So what is that going to entail?
Well, it's going to be split between two departments. I'll remain in the Community and Neighborhood Services office, and I will be working a lot with the planning department, doing some things as far as like grants, and a lot of it is grants, and it's still new, so I'm really
trying
to know exactly what I'm getting myself into.
You're going to be searching for grants
for economic development
mm-hmm. And also for CNS, continue
yes.
doing that too. So you are going to have like just basically another hat to wear.
Yes. It's exciting. It's also a little unnerving. Uh-huh. It's something totally different, but it's also something that I have been really interested in doing for some time now. So
aww.
I'm all about finding money to get things done. So I think this would be an awesome opportunity and a challenge.
Right,
so
right.
I'm excited.
And we already know you have a lot of energy because you have a 2-year-old at home, right?
Yes.
And a teenager, if I remember right.
Yes.
Yes. So you already have your hands full.
Yes.
You're used to multitasking, so you're not going to have any problem.
Oh.
No. But today we were going to specifically talk about a furnace program that's mm-hmm. available because obviously right now the snow has finally hit Muskegon and it has definitely gotten colder. Mm-hmm. And during those times, that's when we usually find out or when our furnaces tend to break down on us or we're using them more than ever. And so can you tell us just a little bit? We have the terminology we use is a free furnace program. But do we have a free furnace program?
Actually, you know, I get that more often where people call the office looking for the free furnace program.
Yes.
And it's actually a test and tune program. It's through DTE where we come in and test the furnace and just tune it up, you know, to make sure that it's working properly and ready to handle the winter months. We prefer to do it in the summertime.
Right.
Where it just makes more sense,
right.
you know, to be prepared for the winter than to get in the, you know, thick of the...
To try to prevent anything
yeah.
instead of waiting until we're under this emergency where people are calling and it's 10 degrees outside and they say they have no heat. We
yes.
want to prevent that
yes.
by trying to do it in the summertime.
Yes, because I actually had that happen where about 2 years ago, it was literally the coldest weekend of the winter and my furnace went out.
Oh.
And to be without heat, I understand. You
yes.
know, now when people call, I was just like, I totally understand.
Uh-huh.
It was below zero, and I have two small children in the home, and it's not a comfortable position, but
no.
had I had it checked out ahead of time, I would have known before
right.
I got to that, you know,
right.
it was not going to last you
right.
know, through the winter. So we do encourage people to call us off season because it's very difficult to, you know, attend to it right away. Contractors are extremely busy. So we like, you know, it's a year-round program.
Yes.
So we say, you know, when you're not using it, it's best to test, you know, test
to
it.
To test it out. Yeah. Sure, sure. Now, you said it's through DTE, so that's who everybody pays their heat bill through, right?
Yes.
In Muskegon, that's our one option right there. And so they pay for it, and do they, like, reimburse the city? How's that work?
Well, DTE partnered with the city.
So we're a partnership.
Yeah, it is definitely a partnership. So that's why we say it's not a free furnace, because someone has to pay for it.
Well, sure.
So DTE pays a portion of it. The test and tune is fully covered by DTE.
So a test and tune is really just getting in there and making sure there's no leakage of carbon monoxide.
Right, yep. They do a complete inspection of the furnace, testing it. And also they also additional energy saving measures by aerators on your sinks and showers,
okay.
And also pipe wrap for your water heater. So just other, you know, cost saving measures to make sure that the entire home is being more energy efficient.
Efficient, which means your utility bills will go down.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness! I know before I've heard people say that their utility bills were in the hundreds.
Yes.
And just from the services I've done with, you know, updating my furnace and switching out my faucets and everything, literally I've saved about $30 a month on my gas bill alone.
Wow.
So I was just like, it works if you
it
you,
really it does work.
It is
right.
A huge cost savings
right.
for my family. $30, that, you know,
right.
Diapers.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. And I know several years ago when I had my furnace replaced just because it wasn't energy efficient. Mm-hmm. And so it was still working, but it was costing me. My utility bill was several $100 a month in the wintertime, which was terrible. When I got done, it dropped to less than half of what it was. So, I mean, it was what a big savings. It paid for itself in no time at all.
Yeah, I have yet to see since I've gotten I had to replace my furnace when it went out, but I have yet to see a gas bill over $100.
So, wow.
And that's through the winter.
Yes.
So I'm just like, it is a huge cost savings.
That's
I don't
big.
Have a small house, so I am grateful.
Very.
For, you know, programs like
So it's important.
This. It is very important because you save overall, and you're able to, you know, not really have that cost and that hardship of having to replace a furnace because it's not very cheap.
No, it's not. No. It actually took me a while to pay for it. So I remember that very, very vividly. But so, you know, what exactly is covered under this program then?
Well,
the test and tune
is covered,
right.
100%.
And that is 100%. And can anybody, or do you have to be income qualified? How does that work?
There are income restrictions for the program. For City of Muskegon residents, we go up to 80% AMI. That range is dependent on.
What is an AMI?
That's area median income.
Okay.
So, like, for one person, you can make up to, like, $29,000 annually to qualify.
All right.
And it increases with, you know,
so
the
each
number
child,
of
and a married couple, it goes up and goes up. And so, and how do people find out what those rates are?
You could call to the office and just to see if you would, you know, qualify.
Qualify. Which that phone number is?
It is. The main number is 231-724-6717.
Okay. And then they can tell you what the income qualifications are. Is it on your website, too?
No, we don't have the income qualifications on the website, but anyone in the office can
you
know that because they are updated.
Because they change
they
all the
change,
time
yes.
and because they're not set by the City of Muskegon.
Right.
They're set by
HUD.
Yeah. The Housing Urban Development sets those rates, and so they change them. Okay. That makes sense to me. Now, so those are the people that are eligible for assistance. Do they have to come in and fill out an application, show proof of income? What do they do?
Yes, there's actually not an application that they fill out. We do everything in the office. They do have to bring in proof that they have a current DTE bill because the program is for DTE customers.
Okay.
So they would have to be a DTE.
Which everybody here would be.
They should
unless
be,
you're
but, you know,
on
some house,
propane or something.
Some homes, you know, do, and they're not supposed to, but they have alternate heating sources.
Okay, yeah.
Electric heat.
Everybody hear that? You're not supposed to have any alternate sources.
No, it's not allowed.
And remember, we want that because we want to be safe. And
right.
so that's an important thing to remember because we've had some tragedies in the past that are heartbreaking. Because they didn't follow those simple rules.
Right.
And we have programs in place to help you if you don't have that
right
now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So How long is the program for?
The program is, it runs year round.
Okay.
So unless DTE tells us,
unless they stop the grant,
discontinue it, we keep going.
They can keep going with it. Wow. So it could be endless, but because I know that they had it for a while, it was only going to be a short time, but then they did extend it. I think because it was so successful.
Yes.
Now, I'm like doing this to you without even preparing you, but just a roundabout, do you know how many people have applied for with you this year? Just a ballpark figure.
This year, oh, he would ask me that.
I know, I'm sorry.
I believe the program is, it really changed from the start. So the first year we, oh my God, we did over 100.
I remember you did a lot of
we
them.
We did a
right,
lot. So,
right.
You know, and being that is also Muskegon, Northern Shores, Muskegon Heights, and the county doing this as well, you know, we kind of share the load where I'm not doing as much.
Okay.
Of the program. So
all right.
About this last year, I believe I did less than 40, but this was still a substantial amount.
Right.
You know, to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to
right.
get their furnace checked.
Right.
Qualifies.
And when you are continuously doing a program like this, I mean, like, you know, obviously the ones who had a lot of concern came up right away in the first year. And then you would expect it to taper off
right.
as time goes on. And now you mentioned this is also available in the city of Muskegon Heights.
Yes.
And you said Norton Shores. Is that
yes.
what you mentioned
mm-hmm.
too? So,
yes.
And any other communities or?
Muskegon, actually the entire county.
The entire county is
able to
okay.
access the program. But
good.
Who you would apply to just depends on where you live. So for City of Muskegon residents as well as City of Northern Shores residents, they would contact the City of Muskegon.
Okay.
But if you live in Muskegon Heights or any of the outside cities or townships.
Yep, jurisdictions.
You would
yep.
talk to Muskegon County and they would handle that as well.
Okay.
But we also, the City of Muskegon does not, but they also allow for rentals to be handled under this program as well. So it's not just limited to homeowners, but rental properties can also apply.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but you said the City of Muskegon doesn't allow that, or?
We don't do rentals. It's just a little bit more.
Okay.
Because we have such a large rental housing stock.
Okay.
You know, and we
right.
don't have the staff
right.
to support that.
So okay.
Definitely.
So currently we don't do the rentals, but maybe in some other jurisdictions, you might want to check on that. And Muskegon Heights, they do allow it,
yes.
so that's important to know.
County.
Okay, and Muskegon County.
Yes.
All right, and then you also mentioned that the City of Muskegon, people who are interested, the City of Norton Shores residents,
yeah.
should also contact the City of Muskegon. Now, why would Norton Shores, why do they go through the city?
Because we handle the community development block grant for Norton Shores.
Okay.
So we just keep it all together. So we
Right. So it's like a partnership that we have
yes.
with Norton Shores.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. It's so good when municipalities can work together.
It is.
And, you know, and pull those resources. It saves, you've got all the experience and it saves funding. And what a great idea for that. So that's really good. And so when, if you want, people who want more information, as we just talked about, would definitely just get a hold of you. Would they contact you or just call? Well, now you're off. I don't want to tell everybody. Everybody call Samantha Ferguson. No, I'm kidding. but they would call the Community Neighborhood Services Program at 724-6717. And you can just start out right from there. And then you have to show proof of income.
Mm-hmm.
You said not even an application process.
No, it's just proof of income and being a current DT customer. So you would have to bring in your bill just
okay,
to verify.
Okay, just to show that mm-hmm. you have that. No, okay, so now let's go to the worst case scenario. I get in there and you came in and you tested my furnace and checked it all out and you found that I have a problem with it. And me as a homeowner who doesn't have... as I think many people don't, just have those funds sitting around to suddenly put in a new furnace. What happens then to those individuals?
Well, the contractors will contact me and say, okay, we went out, we checked it for you. We found out there may be a crack in the heat exchanger or something, or the furnace is just so outdated or, you know, obsolete where they can't find the parts to
okay.
fix it. So it absolutely needs to be replaced. What I would then do is go back and look at their income and uh-huh. find out what to do with the remaining balance. DTE only pays a portion of what it costs to replace the furnace.
Okay.
So if we're looking at a $3,000 furnace and DTE says we will give you $1,150 for it, we have to find the remaining funds for that. That can either be covered through our priority home repair funds, or the homeowner would have to pay for it.
So there could be a potentially $1,900 sitting or left of a balance, even after the generosity of DTE, which is just wonderful. First of all, that they give us $1,100 to a homeowner who's in this predicament, but then there's still that other $1,900, which most of us don't have $1,900 sitting around, which can be become a problem.
Yes.
So then it's your job to try to find some funding for them if you can. Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of times we do try to help through our community block grant program where we pay the difference for that. Or if they are over income, we do encourage them to. There is a fund you can go to the apply for credit, and there's there's no interest on it, and it's through the state. Where you could
like a 12-month kind of thing where you can just make payments and with no interest, which is really good too. And these are for people that are over the income limit but are still in this predicament that they have to pay for a new furnace.
And also the Department of Human Services, they offer assistance.
DHS.
Yes. So we try to tap all the resources we can to make sure that they get what they need.
Okay.
And sometimes, and what we've had to have, and that's if funds are available, if we have some overages in the program income itself, that we've been able to reserve some of the money that DTE has paid for us, we will just go ahead and cover the entire amount under the program.
Okay.
Because we wouldn't be able to cover it through the, the priority home repair funds.
Right. So you have a lot of avenues to tap, right?
We don't like to turn anyone away or leave anyone, just without heat. So we will do what we have to do to make sure it's done. It's just, we just have to tap all the area resources to make sure that happens.
I know in our office, so many people don't know where to call. So the first thing that they do is they see our phone number is listed first in the phone book, and they call us. And the first thing I'll hear is, I don't have any heat and I need help. Somebody told us to call you. Mm-hmm. And we immediately always know what office they want, which is the Community Neighborhood Services program. There's also another number that people can call, which I believe is a 211 number.
Yes.
Do you sometimes direct people to that, or?
Yes. With 211, we try to get everyone to be more knowledgeable as far as what is available in the community, because there are a lot of resources here. It's just a lot of people are unaware that of really what's out there.
Which is part of what we're doing right now. We're just trying to get that information out to people, because just because we know it's available and we think everybody knows about what we do find out so many times is that people don't know that this is out there and this is available. Yes. Yeah. So we 211 is another great resource that they have this information as well. And sometimes 211 might be the people that are sending residents to you, right? And you're part of the referral. So that's what we got going on with the furnace program for those people who might be in that predicament right now. And then we also do have, I want to put a little plug in for the smoke detector program that we got going on, too, that you residents can get free smoke detectors. And I don't even think that's an income requirement there. You just have to be a homeowner. And there's a very simple application to fill out. I know my mom was one of them that she had it done, too. And a firefighter will come to your house and put in the smoke detectors. I think my mom, they put like six of them in there. She's got a small house.
Oh, yeah.
She's that whole thing will ring off like you won't believe. I mean, and she feels so safe. And she talks about the firefighters were just so wonderful to her. And what a good feeling it is to know that she's got that protection. And we want to make sure that our residents know that that program is still going until there are no smoke detectors left. But we're just really grateful that we received a grant and got all of those smoke detectors to help us out with that. So something else to remember. Again, we know of some sad stories out there that could have easily been prevented with a furnace check, the test and tune, with smoke detectors, working smoke detectors in the house. And we want to try to encourage everybody to participate in both of those programs. But I also know that we do have some other programs available to our residents that I'm hoping that you can share with us.
Oh, there's a lot going on in CNS.
Yes.
The programs that I work directly with would be the Priority Home Repair Program, excuse me, and the Vinyl Siding Program. The Priority Home Repair Program just, it really exists to help homeowners who are really in need with a repair that is just financially just unattainable
for them. Right.
So, like, under the program, we do roofing, furnace replacement as well, plumbing, electrical, and foundation work.
Okay.
And I found in doing the program that those things are just something where sometimes people are faced with leaving their homes behind because they just cannot afford
right.
to afford those type yep. of repairs because they are huge. We've done a basement that costs $20,000. I don't know of anyone who really has that type of money,
no.
you know, and that's a huge thing that it just really compromised the integrity of the entire structure if your foundation is not good.
Right.
So we've been able to help a lot of people remain in their homes.
Right.
So, which is, you know, a good feeling.
Very good, yeah, because you visit these people in their house and you get to
yes.
see this firsthand
mm-hmm.
and see the situations that are out there and the people that need help. And,
yes.
And but we are limited into how much money we can, or funding that you have,
yes.
I should say.
Yes.
So do you normally run out every year?
You know, we've been, with being able to partner with a lot of organizations, we've been able to make it to the end of the year. It's been, since I've been in the department about 6 years, we have not run out of money.
Okay.
But I don't know what it's going to look like in January.
We never know what that's going to yeah. look like. Every year is a bit of a stress when it comes to that department
mm-hmm.
because you rely heavily on the federal government for
mm-hmm.
funding. Your program is different than any of the others that we have in the city because those are more of what the state and local funds
mm-hmm.
and that's what is paid by property taxes and income tax and that. But with yours is funded by the federal government.
Yes.
And
we only get so much, and once it's gone,
that's it
for that year. Then we hope to get, you know, refunded the next year so we can continue. So we do, you know, with our roof program that's under the Priority Home Repair Program. We have so many roofs in the city that have to be replaced,
right.
but they end up on a wait list for
yes.
some time. So I always tell them, you know, if you can just be patient, we're going to
yeah.
do it. It's just with the program, we do more than roofing. So as a plumbing emergency comes up or a heating emergency comes up, we constantly have to reprioritize
right.
our clients. So you know, it may be a wait list for roofing, but not for plumbing or electrical or something like that. So
right.
it's a process.
It is. And you have a group of citizens that get together and make those recommendations of how much money should be allotted
mm-hmm.
to certain programs. Because you, first of all, you get like the certain dollar amount, which I'm not, how much, do you know how much that is?
It's, no.
Okay.
I just,
well, we're not going to throw a figure out there, but I was
today.
Thinking... Yeah, I don't know, it's the $1 million mark or something.
You know,
or
it's gone down in May.
Every year it goes down. It just
cause
that's why it is kind of scary to even throw out a number right now because I'm not quite sure where that number's at, but it's a certain pot of money. And these citizens that apply to be on this program or to be part of it to decide how those funds should be spent. So much is budgeted to every part of it.
Right.
And then that's given to the city commission who then approves it
mm-hmm.
and that. And sometimes it is a partnership. That might be what part of it is that you could be allotting the money towards.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So like what other programs do you partner with?
Oh, under IDEAL, mainly with CDBG. So a lot of the funding that we have goes for our programs, and we also have a certain portion that goes to youth recreation.
The recreation program, right. And I think we give part of that those funds to the YMCA
yes.
to
mm-hmm.
to manage those like the parks program.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And like the after school gym,
yes.
open gym and swimming,
yes.
things like that. So
yes.
we do provide funding for that through the CDBG program. Board ups. And
the board ups, just to explain, can you explain that to people what that is?
That is when we go up and
yeah,
we
yeah.
go in and board up vacant structures.
So a house has been left vacant, and there could be like broken windows, mm-hmm. or the door has been busted down and stuff like that, and people are getting in there, and, yep. and we're worried about children or people up to mischief in those buildings. And so and we can't get the owner of the building maybe to do something, or maybe they walked away from the property. Right. And so then the city goes in there.
And boards it up. And that's part of the entire, like, blight movement and everything.
Sure.
Just to, you know, kind of eliminate some of the blight.
Right.
I don't know how a boarded up house is for, you know, blight.
Yeah.
But it's still better than a vacant
right.
structure with
right.
broken windows, or, you know, seeing people coming in and out of
right.
it. It's just that, you know, that's part of blight as well. Is what
because taking care of this, it takes a while. So that you know, because a house becomes vacant tomorrow doesn't mean it's gonna be gone next week.
Right.
I mean, it's a long process because everybody's given the opportunity to correct it.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the meantime, what do we do? You right. know, so we try to do the best we can. So we do board ups as well. So and then CDBG, they pay all these. The community development block grant, they pay all of these programs. And like, I know that you just went out for bids mm-hmm. for contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that people can get involved with if you are a contractor.
Definitely.
That you can apply and always watch for those postings, which we have them on. We put those on our website, I know, at shorelinecity.com. It's right there in our bid site. We also put them on our Facebook page and on our Twitter, where
okay.
you can see that those are out there. But you just had one go out, I think, for contractors for building houses,
mm-hmm.
Electrical, plumbing. You hire all of those. And sometimes you might use 2, 3, 4 different people sometimes for some of those houses, right? Or some different businesses or?
Yes. What we have, because we also, in addition to the CDBG program, we have a home fund too, where we deal more with the building of new houses and the rehab of houses, and
yes.
we sell them to low to moderate income families. So we need contractors to build those houses.
Sure. Well, yeah.
So we like to go out for bid and get contractors to work on those houses for us. And what happens, I know with the last bid, we were looking for procurement contractors
yes.
who would work for us for the entire year.
Yes.
So for any of the homes, because we also have lease homes through the city of Muskegon, where, you know, we just, they're lease to own type
right,
situations.
Right, right, yep.
And if there something happens, we need to be able to call on one specific contractor, go out there and handle it immediately.
Right.
So that's what our procurement process is with the contractors that we just recently went through. So.
Can I put a plug in right there too that recently you had one of your houses that was remodeled and everything, and it was a certain office in the city of Muskegon that actually decorated and picked out the fixtures and the paint colors and everything. And what department was that, Samantha?
That would have been the clerk's
yeah,
office.
Yeah, that was us. We did that, and you have to say it turned out gorgeous.
It sold very fast.
It did. It sold really fast. It was. It did really, really well. We had so much fun. But I can tell you that was work. You know, it started out. And I mean, all the way through, it was fun, but we found out it was work.
It is a lot of work. I know before in the past, we would each get a home, and we were responsible for the cabinets, the lighting, the carpet.
We picked out everything.
And I was just like, from here on out, I don't want a house because it's just too much work.
It's a lot of work.
So much
work. It was stressful, and then you get over there and see that they started putting paint on it and go, oh, I'm not mm-hmm. sure that that was
yeah.
the best. Or
I would spend hours looking for light fixtures. I was just like, I could be working.
Yeah.
Do
you tell them to go out to Menards and that this is how much you have. And I remember really battling, I wouldn't say battle, but I was talking to your boss, trying my best to get $100 more out of her for appliances. I mean, it was like a really big deal before I could finally like bend her to mm-hmm. do that for me because I wanted stainless steel appliances
oh.
in mine. I know. And it was, but what I didn't have to do, and I'm so grateful, but I can't even imagine doing this on a daily basis, was working with the contractors and especially when issues came up. And
oh, yeah.
And that I am so grateful. I can't even imagine every day doing that.
You know, we have some really, really great contractors.
Oh, sure.
Who, like, they love working for us. They love working with us because they like what we're doing. So,
but when something breaks or whatever, and all of a sudden you're over budget, and that's the part I know.
For that at all.
I didn't like that part at all because I was like, well, I don't know. They just told me this is how much money I have to spend. But now what do you do? Because, so that's where you guys come in too. And you're very familiar, obviously, with doing that.
Right. You know, when I've always, with the houses you guys did.
Yes.
I've still yet. I love those cabinet drawers that you put in.
Yes.
They kind of stop. I was like, I am getting those in my house. So, just being able
this house turned out gorgeous. I have to say.
Kitchen was amazing.
Yeah, so. The kitchen turned out. It was just, and it did sell really fast. And we were really, really proud of that fact. And we talked about other departments maybe doing that and having a decorating contest or something. I don't know.
Because we do have two new houses. One is a rehab on Park Drive.
Yes.
That is going to be amazing. I'm so excited for it. And we have a new home that's being built. I believe it's on Nolan or Samson. It's one of
over in Lakeside. It's our first time over in Lakeside, I believe.
So we're
building a new
house. Camp Belfield and Lakeside right now. So that's really exciting. We don't really anticipate those homes lasting long.
No, not at all. And they do have open houses. I mean, as soon as they do this, and you usually have cookies and all that stuff there too. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They fed us sandwiches too. That's right. Oh, my gosh. We are already out of time here. So we're going to wrap up. And I want to thank you, Samantha, so much for being here today. And congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you.
Yes. And hopefully you can come back again later and then tell us more about your new job when you get more settled in there and actually understand and know everything that you are doing in your new job. So again, we want to thank everybody for listening to us to Talk of Muskegon. And until next time.